You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast. Number 25, how to protect your brain from Alzheimer's disease and improve your cognitive skills. My name is Nancy Montori, and I write a blog called Ordinary Vegan. My number one mission in life is to keep you as healthy as possible, and I do this by advocating a healthy plant-based diet that includes grains, legumes like lentils and beans, vegetables, fruit, in healthy fats like nuts and seeds. It excludes all meat, eggs, and dairy. I created this podcast to encourage you, serve you, educate you, and support you every step of the way to every plant-based meal you consume. A plant-based diet is not only the best choice for a long and healthy life, it is also the best choice for a healthy planet. And a way to protect animals who've been bred into existence to suffer on factory farms. If you're just getting started on a plant-based diet, I highly recommend that you listen to podcast number one, Getting Started on a Plant-Based Diet, and podcast number 10, How to Get Optimum Nutrition on a Plant-Based Diet. I am very honored to have you here. And I want to say a big thank you to all of you who have reached out to me. Your kind words and encouragement are very generous, and it's what keeps me going. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. It has been one of the busiest of months, and I can't believe September is almost over. I've had my ups and downs this month, including being a little under the weather and being overly helpful to people. Yes, you can be overly helpful, as I find out over and over again. For example, last week at CVS, it has been very hot in Los Angeles this month, temperatures reaching well over 100 degrees. And somehow, I caught a cold on vacation and went to CVS to get some cold medicine. While I was in the middle of checking out, an older man with a walker and layers of clothes on walked into CVS and asked the clerk if they had any water. The clerk said, "You can use the water cooler." The man asked where the water cooler was, and the clerk said, "In the back of the store." The guy turned around and walked out of CVS. I was like, damn, this poor man can't even walk to the back of the store to get some water. I need to help this guy out. So I bought a gallon jug of water and went outside to give it to him. But weirdly, I couldn't find him. I assumed he would be outside the store, perhaps sitting somewhere in the parking lot, especially since he was moving so slow. Well, I don't see him, and I'm ready to get in my car and go home and get back into bed. When suddenly I put the car back in park and I decide, being the determined person that I am, that I was going to find that man and give him some water. So I get out of my car and start looking around the parking lot again. Finally, at the far end of the lot, there he was, holding on to his walker. I run over to him with the gallon of water and say, "Hi, here's some water." I immediately realize it's not really convenient for him to have a gallon of water on his walker. After I hand him the water, he asked me if I had any ice. I said, no, I don't have any ice. He said, "Okay." I said, "Have a great day." Now, I am about to get into my car again and leave when I spot a Subway. So I get out of my car and go into Subway and get a big cup of ice. I start walking back to where the man was, and I don't see him. I'm like, where did he go now? So I turn the corner out of the parking lot into the street, and I see he is boarding a bus. Obviously, he is really struggling to get on because he's carrying a gallon of water with his walker. The bus driver wasn't even trying to help him. So I follow him onto the bus and give him his cup of ice. Now he's juggling a gallon jug of water and a glass of ice with his walker. And on closer inspection, I realize he might not be homeless. He says thank you, and I get off the bus. I stood there for a minute and suddenly realized that I had written a story in my head, as I often do, and I had assumed that man was homeless, living in the parking lot, and needed a gallon of water to help him get through the day. And now, I probably have caused that man more of a problem having to lug a gallon of water on a walker and a large glass of ice. Ay, ay, ay. And that is what I mean about being too helpful sometimes. Now, let's talk about today's podcast. I did a very abbreviated version of this information on my Friday Facebook Live video. But today, I really want to discuss all the ways to prevent cognitive decline. Alzheimer's disease is the sixth leading cause of death in the United States, and one of the most terrifying diseases out there. Polls show that people are more scared of getting dementia in old age than any other disease. And Alzheimer's disease is not just a disease of old age. Younger onset, also known as early onset Alzheimer's, affects people younger than 65, and 5 million people in the United States alone have younger onset Alzheimer's disease. Since 2000, deaths from Alzheimer's disease have increased by 89%. And in 2015, the Alzheimer's Disease International estimated that someone in the world develops a form of dementia every 3 seconds. Yet, some populations in the world, like South Asia and Africa, not only live long, healthy lives, but remain cognitively healthy too. So what are they doing right? That is what we're going to discuss today. We are going to discover ways we can protect ourselves from Alzheimer's disease. If you're saying to yourself right now that Alzheimer's disease is all genetics and there is nothing you or anyone else can do, that is not the case. Yes, there is an Alzheimer's gene called APOE4. But if you listen to podcast number 18 about the connection between low back pain, erectile dysfunction, and chronic disease, you may remember that the highest frequency of the Alzheimer gene, APOE4, in the world is in Nigeria. But they also have some of the lowest rates of Alzheimer's disease. The Nigerians' diet trumped their genes. And that is great news for anyone with the Alzheimer gene. So let's start at the beginning. How was Alzheimer's disease discovered? The origin of the term Alzheimer's disease dates back to the early 1900s. In 1901, a woman named August was taken to an insane asylum in Germany by her husband. She was described as disoriented and delusional and could not carry out her homemaking duties. She was seen by a man named Dr. Alzheimer, who discovered later, through an autopsy, that she had hardening of the arteries within her brain. Dr. Alzheimer described it as plaques and tangles in her brain. The word atherosclerosis wasn't used back then, but that is what Dr. Alzheimer was describing. A buildup of plaque inside the arteries that have been narrowed and hardened. Arteries are blood vessels that carry oxygen-rich blood not only to your heart, but also to your brain. This plaque in the arteries is made up of mainly fat and cholesterol and some other substances found in the blood. Since the brain is sensitive to a lack of oxygen, these plaque-laden arteries are not allowing enough oxygen-rich blood to flow to the brain. Good arteries should look open, clean, and allowing blood to flow. Atherosclerosis in our brain arteries closes off the arteries and restricts blood flow and oxygen to our brain. The good news is that atherosclerosis of the brain is potentially reversible, and it is never too late to try to repair these arteries. But the best thing you can do for yourself is never have to repair these arteries to your brain. So what should you do, and what did those cognitively healthy populations do? Diet is the most important risk factor for Alzheimer's disease. And I am not exaggerating. Study after study, including research published in the Journal of the American College of Nutrition, showed that the consumption of meat increased Alzheimer's risk the most, followed by eggs, and then dairy. There were also other possible components that factored in, including increased intakes of metal ions such as copper, iron, and aluminum. And we will talk about that later, but let's stick with food right now. So how about those populations with the healthy brains? What do they have in common? They consume relatively low animal protein, including meat and dairy. High dementia populations eat approximately 140 grams of protein a day, of which at least two-thirds come from animal sources like red meat, chicken, cheese, and milk products. Low dementia populations eat drastically less animal protein and get most of their protein from plant sources. Remember the buildup of plaque in the arteries? It is made up of mainly cholesterol and fat. Let's start with cholesterol. What is cholesterol? I read somewhere, if I had a bit of cholesterol on the end of my finger, it would look like wax. This waxy substance starts building up in your arteries at a very young age, progressing unrecognized for decades until it results in chronic disease. Think of all those pieces of cheese pizza we eat when we are young. By our 20s, 20% of our arteries are already getting sticky from cholesterol buildup, so intervention at a very early age is crucial. We do not need to consume cholesterol in our diets because our bodies can make all that we need. The number one way to lower your cholesterol is not to eat cholesterol. Even a piece of chicken contains as much cholesterol as beef. Most shellfish are also very high in cholesterol. Remember, excess cholesterol is involved in the thickening and hardening of your arteries, resulting in atherosclerosis, which leads to Alzheimer's disease and other debilitating diseases such as heart attacks and strokes. Avoiding dietary cholesterol is a great way to decrease our risk of developing all kinds of chronic diseases. Animal foods, even the low-fat varieties, contain cholesterol. Plant-based foods do not contain cholesterol. Now let's talk about the other risk factor clogging our arteries, saturated fat and trans fats. The healthiest option for your body to avoid Alzheimer's disease is not to consume saturated or trans fats. Saturated fat is found in red meat, butter, cheese, eggs, and other animal-based foods. Decades of research and scientific evidence has proven that saturated fat can increase your cholesterol and put you at a higher risk not only for Alzheimer's disease, but also heart disease. Trans fat can be found in many or even most processed foods, including baked goods and pie crusts, margarine, frozen pizza, and fried foods. Trans fat foods are made with cheap oils and will clog your arteries. Even vegetable oils have saturated fats, so consumption should be kept to a minimum. The only diet that will not clog your arteries and cut off oxygen to your brain and heart are plant-based foods like grains, beans, lentils, vegetables, fruits, and healthy fats like nuts, seeds, and avocado. Honestly, it is that simple. I know it doesn't sound simple, but I promise that if you embrace a plant-based diet, you will never have to worry about so many chronic debilitating diseases, including Alzheimer's disease. Another thing I would like to talk about are metals that may cause cognitive problems and more. High levels of iron have been associated with an increased risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. Iron toxicity has also been associated with other diseases of aging, like Parkinson's disease and atherosclerosis. Just this past July, scientists in Melbourne discovered a link between heightened iron levels in the brain and the risk of developing Alzheimer's disease and dementia. There are two kinds of iron, heme iron and non-heme. Heme iron is only found in meat, fish, and poultry, and is much better absorbed into the body than non-heme iron found in plant-based foods. The body needs a certain amount of iron for healthy blood cells, but beyond that small amount, iron can become a dangerous substance. Too much heme iron from red meat represents the majority of iron humans consume in their diets, which is contributing to iron overload. An interesting study was done called the Framingham Heart Study. In examining more than 1,000 white Americans ages 67 to 96, researchers found that only about 3% had deficient levels of iron in their blood or stored in their bodies, but over 13% had levels considered way too high. They concluded that elderly white Americans eating a Western diet have too much iron stored and not iron deficiency. Not only can this iron overload be a contributing factor to Alzheimer's disease, it can also contribute to cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. High levels of iron have also been found in the brains of people with neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and Lou Gehrig's disease. Other ways to absorb excess iron are with multivitamins. Some multivitamins can contain more than twice the amount of iron recommended per day, so read those labels well. Also, you may want to swap out your cast iron pans for stainless steel. A study found that the iron content of certain foods like spaghetti sauce increased more than 9 times after being cooked in a cast iron skillet. The next metal I want to talk about is aluminum. In a British study, people with high levels of aluminum in their tap water had a 50% increased risk for Alzheimer's compared to those with the least exposure. So my recommendation is to call your local water supplier and ask for the aluminum level. If it is higher than undetectable, install a filter. Also, store your leftovers in glass. Acidic foods like tomato sauce can absorb aluminum from foil. Minimize your exposure by avoiding aluminum cookware, antacids, and other products that contain aluminum. Also, avoid cosmetics with aluminum bases, mineral powders that contain bismuth, and aluminum-laden antiperspirants, which can increase your Alzheimer's risk. Also, avoid vaccinations that inject aluminum directly into your bloodstream. Last but not least is copper. As far back as 2006, studies have shown that high dietary copper intakes was associated with faster rates of cognitive decline. Even people who suffer from fatigue, spaciness, racing thoughts, PMS, depression, phobias, anxiety, infertility, low libido, and even anger and violence could be symptoms of copper imbalance. The thing about copper overload is you could be suffering from many cognitive problems and never suspect a copper imbalance. Once again, although copper is vital for human health, excess copper is not healthy, and those with the highest levels of copper are 3 times as likely to develop Alzheimer's disease. Copper is found at especially high levels in liver and shellfish. Copper overload can also occur because many of us are exposed to unsuspected sources of environmental copper. For example, copper water pipes or dental fillings. And always choose multivitamins without copper. Now I want to mention a food source that could help with cognitive problems. In 2009, a paper was published that concluded that saffron is both a safe and effective way to treat mild to moderate Alzheimer's disease. Then again, in 2010, another exciting finding about saffron was discovered by the Journal of Clinical Pharmacology and Therapeutics. That showed saffron can actually protect against Alzheimer's disease. In 2 studies, patients were given 30 milligrams of saffron each day. One study monitored patients for 16 weeks, while the other study monitored patients for 22 weeks. At the end of the 2 studies, it was discovered that the patients who took the daily saffron did better on cognitive memory tests than those who did not take it. So, if you're a student and have a test tomorrow, I would recommend some saffron rice before the test. I know saffron isn't something most of us use on a consistent basis, but one of my favorite ways to consume saffron is to simply make a soup. So let's go into Ordinary Vegan's kitchen and prepare one of my favorite soups, red bell pepper and tomato saffron soup with crunchy roasted chickpeas. Here is all you need for this yummy saffron soup. 1/2 cup of vegetable broth for sautéing and 3 cups of vegetable broth for soup. a half a medium onion chopped, 1 to 2 cloves of garlic minced, 5 plum tomatoes or any kind of tomatoes chopped, 4 roasted red bell peppers from a jar chopped, 1 bay leaf, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, you can add more at the end, fresh ground black pepper, and then 1 pinch of saffron, which is about 20 medium saffron threads that has been soaked in 2 tablespoons of hot water for 15 minutes. All you have to do is heat the 1/2 cup of vegetable broth in a medium soup pot, add the onion, saute for 4 to 5 minutes, add the garlic and saute for another minute, and then add the red pepper and tomatoes and saute until the vegetables are soft, approximately another 3 to 4 minutes. Stir in the saffron, the salt, some ground black pepper, a bay leaf, and 3 cups of the vegetable broth. Bring this mixture to a simmer and simmer for approximately 30 minutes. Remove it from the heat and let it cool, and don't forget to remove the bay leaf, and then transfer the mixture to a blender or food processor and process until just smooth. Be careful not to overprocess so it keeps its beautiful red color. Ladle that into some soup bowls and top it with some fresh basil. But if you want to make this soup super special, top it with some crunchy roasted garbanzo beans. I find that adding crunch to a soup recipe really elevates it, and it is more satiating with texture. Here is all you have to do. Take a large bowl and combine 1/2 teaspoon of cayenne and 1 teaspoon of ground cumin and 1 teaspoon of chili powder, a sprinkle of any kind of paprika, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and the juice of 1 lemon. Then toss in a carton about 15 ounces of garbanzo beans, or chickpeas they're called, that have been rinsed and dried and mixed. Place those delicious garbanzo beans in a single layer on a baking sheet lined with parchment paper and bake them at 400 degrees for approximately 25 to 35 minutes or until they're crunchy and roasted. Be careful not to burn and rotate the beans for even cooking. Remove them from the oven and toss them with some fresh chopped basil and maybe a little bit more lemon juice on top. You can serve these on top of a soup or just eat them as an appetizer. That is it. The last thing I want to say about improving your cognitive skills and your longevity is to boost them with exercise, reading, solving puzzles, visit museums, attend workshops that will challenge you, take up a new hobby, or even just play board games. I have a favorite new board game called Mexican Train that my niece taught me over the summer, and I'm starting a board game night once a month. You can be many years younger than your chronological age by making these diet changes and lifestyle choices. And if you're young, these changes can help you become more creative. Remember, when blood can flow freely to your brain, your cognitive skills, including memory, will improve. That is it for today's podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being here today. And thanks for being part of our health and wellness community. I am here for you, and don't hesitate to ask me questions at nancy@ordinaryvegan.net or record a message on my website. Just go to ordinaryvegan.net and you'll see a green square that says, send me a message. I love hearing your voice. And you can find all the show notes for my podcast at ordinaryvegan.net/playlist. Please join our health and wellness community on Facebook, which is over 312,000 strong. Just go to facebook.com/ordinaryvegan. They are vibrant, compassionate, and they love supporting and helping each other. If you get a moment, please leave a comment or a review on iTunes. If people enjoy the podcast, iTunes will give it a better position and expose it to more people. So thank you in advance if you have time. Wishing you a peaceful and compassionate week. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.